Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We're a comedic, social, and current events podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, kind of giving you a look in entryway into the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world, our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
Hail.
Thank you. You're a good man. I still don't like you, Balti. Nothing. I didn't say anything. Anyways, we give this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes. So please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and share our page to all your friends, family members, and loved ones. Because you truly don't love someone until you have spread the gospel of Currently Nerdy. Hallelujah. Holla back, little homie. Amen. You didn't like that? Southern Baptist voice?
It wasn't Southern Baptist.
Give me an amen. Hallelujah. Holla back, little homie. What is that? I don't know. I can't. Anyways.
It sounds like the, Coming to America?
Yeah.
Where it's like the pastor?
The sexual chocolate guy?
No. Like the priest guy in the... He's like
you gotta thank the Lord. Yeah, okay. That's what I was going for.
Yeah.
It worked. Anyways, we are your hosts of this illustrious... Hey, come on, Mo. No YouTube videos in the middle of me introducing our podcast. Turn that shit off, you bastard.
Sorry.
It probably makes me look like a crazy person because your mic didn't even catch it, but like it disrupted me. We are your hosts of this illustrious, award-winning, Grammy-nominated podcast. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture / sports nerd, which means I could tell you that Kylie Jenner is now on the market. Bye-bye, Tiger. Time for Diz to sneak on in. And
who?
Stipe Miocic is now the new UFC heavyweight champion of the world.
Why'd you say heavyweight like that?
I don't know.
You said heavyweight. You said it with an accent.
UFC heavyweight champion of the world.
Like you, for some reason you went Persian on heavyweight.
I don't know.
Not the rest of it. Just heavy.
Stipe Miocic from Cleveland, Ohio with a Croatian name. Anyways. Now to the man who will make you get an A on your history exam. Ali, take it away.
I love how I've been reduced to that.
That's all you are.
I am.
Not your American history exams anymore.
Oh, no, that's not history. Yeah. Ali A. Ilumi is my name, and I am the classic nerd of the group, the bald bard who was into things that were nerdy before nerdy suddenly became cool. V.
Good evening, friends. This is V. Tran, your comic book movie and travel nerd. I cover the things that Lee and Diz do not.
It's very hipsterish. Introduction. Who? Nerdy before nerdy became cool.
Yeah. You also you brought back the bald bard thing.
Bald bard, sexy scholar. I throw it in there everyone.
You know what's interesting is that have you
Naughty
seen
professor?
Naughty professor.
There's been
people call me. I've actually never actually called myself that.
Oh. Yeah.
That's for whatever reason. Whenever I talk about sex, that's what.
You've also claimed you've never said "fuck it, I'm rich."
I've never said "I'm fuck it, I'm rich" except when I'm quoting you two fuckers.
Yeah, sure.
What were you saying?
Have you seen the memes there? Like, everyone's making fun of bards right now.
Bards?
Like in France, like, there's, like, memes out there about, like, bards in, like, D&D groups and in where it's always, like, playing a flute. While your whole party is dying, the bard is
Let me ask you something here. Did you really expect me to see bard memes? Like, what kind of people do you think I hang out with?
I was asking Ali.
Hey, you didn't say, hey, Ali, have you seen those bard memes? You said, hey, have you guys seen those bard memes?
Hey, you guys.
Yeah, come on, bro. Like, do I look like a bard? I don't even know what a bard is.
Exactly. You're uneducated.
Well, I'm uneducated in D&D slang. I don't know.
You know, a bard is a real thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
What is a bard?
Just like a warrior, like a minstrel. And a cleric is a real thing.
Yeah, I know those words.
They're not made up words. They're like actual things in history.
So what does a bard do?
A bard is a singer, a storyteller. They usually travel around and they tell tales.
Every single rapper that you've ever mentioned.
But the bards are related to things like relating the stories of kings. So a bard would go and they would tell this legend of that. Because a lot of history.
Ah, so these are people who told Odysseus.
Yeah, so like Homer was a bard.
Yeah, the Odyssey.
Odyssey the story of Odysseus was told by Homer the bard, who was a blind bard. And they're related to minstrels. Minstrels generally play an instrument.
I knew what a minstrel was.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Doesn't matter.
But minstrels are more like entertainment oriented. Bards are more education.
I knew minstrel because I've heard the word minstrel show.
But that's a misunderstanding of what a bard does in D&D, though.
What do they do? Just play the flute?
No, they actually have powers.
Yeah, they have powers, but it's always it's
like tame animals and shit like that.
It's a really funny meme. It's just a bunch of people playing instruments crying, and it always says, "Meanwhile, the bard is doing this while everyone's dying."
I watched the video the other day, and I finally understand the reference of Leroy Jenkins.
The WoW thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that. It's like a 10-year anniversary now.
Yeah, or something. I saw it. I thought it was hilarious. Like
the biggest meme of WoW.
Yeah.
God damn it, Leroy.
To be honest with you, I don't fully understand. I know what it is. I know it's a guy who yells out Leroy Jenkins, and he ends up fucking things up.
Yeah.
But I don't exactly understand why it became
well. They were all sitting there. And like
he aggroed,
okay,
right?
Okay, well, here's the thing. Okay, so I think it was a 20. They were doing a 20 man or something like a raid. Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, where they were at in the raid, it takes like hours to get to that point. This is vanilla WoW too, so this is when it's really really hard to get to that point. So it took them hours to get there.
They have made WoW easier.
They made it a lot easier. But at that point, though, it would have taken hours and days of preparation to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And then this Minotaur named Leroy Jenkins, who's in this group, just goes, "Let's go, Leroy Jenkins!" And he like starts running, and he grabs every single enemy from the room. Aggroes every single enemy from the room, and everyone starts going crazy over the microphone. And then he ends up wiping everyone, which basically means that they all die.
In a raid, you have to be very careful. The way raids work is actually quite systematic. So everyone has a role.
Yes,
someone's a tank. That means they hold the aggro, right? Because they don't. The healer makes sure that fucker doesn't die and that no one else in the team dies. Yeah. Then you have your DPSs, which are like the rogues and the
mages. Yeah, we do all the damage. They do all the
damage. And usually, I mean, there's like, you will have it assigned. Like, you attack this. It's very, like, it's meant to be. That's why raids take so long, is because you're supposed to take turns. You move kind of slowly through the dungeon.
I know
the story. I just don't understand why it took off the way it did.
Because he recorded.
I know that's what happened, and I saw it. I've seen him. I just don't get why that became such a thing. Because you know, there's Leroy Jenkins spawns everywhere.
Yeah,
he's like the most famous
WoW player
of WoW. He's not even a player. He's like more of a mythic figure.
It's true.
Even
it's true.
Blizzard themselves have like co-opted the Leroy.
He's like
Jenkins.
Their Tom Bombadil, I think. Yeah,
it's a Tom Bombadil.
It's from Lord of the Rings.
He's kind of the mischievous bard.
Wait,
in the forest. He's a shapeshifter.
My God, you're an ignorant swine, is what you are.
It wasn't in the movies.
Not in the movies. No,
it's not in the movies. No.
So fuck you. I didn't read the books.
People thought it was going to be in the movies, but it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, but I don't know.
He's kind of this weird mythic figure, Tom Bombadil. He's
like
kind
the
of mischievous.
Like the Night's King, but not mischievous?
No, nothing like that.
The Night's King is
before mystic we move figure. On to the Game of Thrones, which we will get to.
Boobs.
So this was a interest. This is a very important week.
Mm-hmm.
Do either of you know what Sunday was?
I heard it was our friend Nick Harris's birthday.
No, that was Monday.
It was.
You're right.
I know what Sunday was, but you don't want me to talk about it on air.
No, that's fine. It's a fine. That's not what it was, though.
Oh.
Which, congratulations for fucking up both of our birthdays, though, to me.
I switched them.
I'm so used to his being such a shitty. He gave you a heads up!
I did, bro. I put it in the group chat, bro.
Did you really? I don't read the group
chat. That's why he does deliberately. That's an attempt to.
Yeah.
No,
he was texting me privately, but I wrote the happy birthday in the group chat so you would see it.
We were talking about something else. Do you know what Sunday was, though?
Lent.
No. Close.
What?
Do you know what Sunday was, V?
No idea.
Sunday was the anniversary of the Nakba, as well as the foundation of Israel. So 70 years ago, roughly 70 years ago.
I'm not allowed to boo, am I?
No, you're not allowed to do. That's rude. Was the date when the Nakba happened. So this was the date of Israeli independence. It's May 15th every year.
Boo.
And it's
a horrible day.
It's a kind of a big event because... one, it's celebrated amongst Israelis as a kind of an independence and a founding day.
Mm-hmm.
But for Arabs, specifically Palestinians, it's called the Nakba, meaning the catastrophe. It's the day where 700,000 Palestinians were driven off of their various lands and villages were burned. Over 356 towns and villages were destroyed. So it's kind of a big deal. I say this because we are going to be having some interesting discussions about this coming up at the Samoan Network.
Yeah.
So if you guys are interested in really talking about the politics behind this and its relationship to the wider kind of Muslim, Afghan, Arab diaspora, Check out the Summer War Network, their Facebook page and YouTube channel. It'll be going live probably this Sunday. So as you're hearing this, the Sunday that's coming up, there'll be a discussion on this. So it's in actual, relevant timing to what happened on May, the anniversary on May 15th.
Yeah.
So just wanted to bring that up because it is kind of a this week in history.
Way to fucking make like this a somber moment, bro.
It's not a somber moment. It's just one of those things you should be aware of.
Bro.
It's called awareness. It's called intelligence. It's called being worldly.
I wanted to sit here and talk about Game of Thrones, and you have to go and fucking make me feel bad about like people dying and shit. Hey, man.
Well, there is a war going on, several wars going on currently, and there is this little thing called the refugee crisis. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry that I've made your world so dark.
Bro, there's a
war. Maybe that's because the world is fucked up.
Seriously. It's only children and women and, old men dying and stuff.
Bro, Renly died. Stannis died.
As long as his boobs involved, you're okay with
it. Asha died.
Those are all white people names.
You're supposed to spoiler alert in advance.
Oh.
Way to go, asshole.
Oops. Spoiler alert. Retroactive spoiler alert.
Nice going.
Whatever, man.
Yeah, we don't believe in actually going back and re-recording things, just like with the whole YouTube comment that did during the intro. So we obviously can't go back and just say spoiler alert or edit that shit.
Unless the audio is bad.
Really, to be honest with you, it aired on Sunday. People should have seen it by now.
Seriously, you had a couple of days to
go. Wednesday now for you guys.
When you're hearing this.
Yeah. Wednesday. But...
So what did you think of the episode?
It's been my favorite episode of the season.
See, this is my problem with you, Diz. You're the reason why Game of Thrones is such a shitty show. Because they rely on people like you. They're like, as long as we show tits.
Wait, no, the last episode was pretty awesome,
you're
too.
You're like, oh, it's a that was a great episode.
I thought it'd be a little bit boring, to be honest with you.
It was a shit episode.
I enjoyed it. What was a good? Has there been a good episode in your eyes this season?
Nope.
But Jon Snow coming back wasn't a good episode?
We knew it was going to happen.
So?
Yeah.
He came back.
Honestly, the first episode for me, at the very least, kind of got me going to watch the season.
Not me.
But other than that, like the other episodes have been just kind of neither here nor there.
Last episode would have been a lot better had they just gone and showed fucking Lyanna Stark in that goddamn Tower of Joy and not cock-blocked me, you son of a bitch, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What? Fuck them. They cock-blocked me last week.
That's the reason. You went into this whole thing last week about how Benioff and Weiss have issues with gender and shocking people and their writing styles. And then Diz here is upset because they cock-blocked him.
They cock-blocked me.
It is kind of, they're kind of crappy writers. Mm-hmm. An example of this. So do you guys know that what happened recently with George R. R. Martin? George R. Martin released another chapter of Winds of Winter that's just coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
He does this. He releases a chapter. Though technically... This is a chapter that he's had written since 2011.
Of course, yeah.
Because he's been reading this exact chapter. It's called Arianne 2.
What? Arianne?
Arianne 2. It's the second. This is the chapter he released as a kind of a spoiler for the book, right? Or a teaser for the book. But he's been reading this fucking chapter since 2011. So he hasn't actually released any new material.
Oh.
But people are talking about the reason he released it. Every time he releases something, like a new chapter, it's like a subtle rebuke of the show. Or at least a way of showing how the show has diverged. So last time, he released a Sansa chapter.
Mm-hmm.
When Sansa was getting...
Raped. Okay.
He released a chapter basically going, look, in my book... That's not what's going on at all.
She's not getting raped. Someone else is.
In this time, that's what people are reading into this. They're reading the release of this chapter as George R. Martin's rebuke of the Dorne plotline. So what he's in the story, what I think for me, the biggest frustration, I know I keep harping on Dorne, but this is related to why George R. Martin released his chapter, is Dorne, I think the authors have missed... the overarching themes of the book, right? I get that there's only so much you can do when you're translating something from a book to the medium of
that's true. It's right? just not the same.
Yeah. And George R. R. Martin's books are notoriously long and kind of convoluted. He's all about world building. So like, for example, people who watch the show and then they pick up the books are often surprised that there's actually not a lot of battles in it.
Yeah, so it's a lot more dry.
It is more dry. It's more political. It's like Hardhome. Mm-hmm. From last season with the White Walkers, that's not in the books at all.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week.
It's just not at all.
There's
not a lot of big battles in it because he's not that writer. He's not about these big epic fights. He's actually anti-violence.
Mm.
You know, remember, he's a conscientious objector. to war.
To Vietnam?
Yeah, he's not a violent person. So his books are actually a critique of violence. The whole purpose of his books are a critique of violence. That's why people like Ned die. That's why people like Rob die. There are no good guys because if you're involved in violence, violence begets violence. The whole point,
live by the sword, die by the sword.
The whole point of, for example, the Brothers Without Banners is about saying, look, while these fuckers are battling it out, it's the little people, the ordinary person, that gets screwed over. So the showrunners have completely missed this. Right, they've missed this critique of violence by making it even more bloody and gory. They're not getting that what George R. R. Martin's doing. He's not killing off heroes. Mm-hmm. That's not what he's doing. What he's doing is saying you can't be a hero in a world where violence is the primary means of getting what you want. Uh-huh. It doesn't work that way.
And he also can't be a hero by using that violence in the violent world. Yeah.
So why does the War of the Five Kings happen? Because Cersei fucking chops off Ned Stark's head. Yeah. Right? Guess what? That doesn't work out for her. Violence begets violence. So there's no solution. And so
that's not what happened. The War of the Five Kings happened because Renly claimed the throne.
He claimed the throne once everything fell apart. He didn't claim the throne right away.
He claimed it after Ned died?
Yeah. The problem was is that they took Ned into custody. That mobilized the North and that mobilized all these different kingdoms, right? Because they started to see that the everything was falling apart. When Ned died, people started declaring and whatnot. It became a big issue, right? Mm-hmm. It all fell apart because Cersei chopped off Ned's head. And it happened even before that when Jon Arryn died. Mm-hmm. Right, so violence begets violence. That's the whole critique. And nowhere do you see this more clearly than in Dorne. Dorne is not just an introduction to kind of a new POV and cultural diversity. It's also us. It's the reader going, man, this is a fucked up world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's actually a scene in it. So this in the show, obviously spoilers, right? What happens? The Sand Snakes kill off their cousin. Trystane.
Yes.
Stab him through the head.
That's true. Yeah. Spear goes. Right?
Disgusting.
In the book, there's this fantastic moment where they tried to do this coup against Doran. Doran foils the plot, and there's this big reveal where he goes, "You don't understand. I have been working towards vengeance for 20 years, but I'm just not out to create wars. I don't do it through violence. I do it through marriage and politics." Uh-huh. He's trying to support a Targaryen, and it's like this big reveal. Everyone's on board, and you could translate that to the big screen really well. I can even see it now. Alexander Siddig has this voiceover moment as he's talking, and the Sand Snakes are off doing their scheming, at his command.
Do they do voiceovers in Game of Thrones?
Yeah, you know, you get moments where someone's talking and showing a visual elsewhere.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh. Okay.
So like that could have been a fantastic moment, right? As he's talking about.
Well, they quashed all that.
But here's the thing. Yeah. So in the books, one of the things that Doran reveals, in addition to his great plan, right, that he's actually been fucking over the Lannisters for years, is he goes, the Lannisters had this plot that as we send Trystane to King's Landing, along the way, one of their men was going to attack and kill Trystane while yelling half man, half man, half man. So Cersei would have been promoting the evil of Tyrion while also killing off Trystane Martell. And when he reveals this, the Sand Snakes, the ones that kill him in the show, are horrified. They go, Trystane, are they mad? He's but a boy.
Mm.
So for me, that moment, and you see this really in what George R. R. Martin reveals, they're missing that critique of violence. They're missing George R. R. Martin's overarching point that this isn't about big battles and tits and death, that yes, those things exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about big heroes. This is about the ordinary person. In many ways, his critique is the critique of Superman v. Batman, of Civil War. It's the same critique. Great, you guys are heroes. But what happens when you're doing heroic shit?
Yeah.
You're saving the city. In the process, there's thousands of casualties, right? Sure, you killed Zod. You also fucking leveled New York or got whatever
that's Metropolis.
City. Metropolis, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same thing, right? Great. You stopped Loki, but you fucking leveled New York.
There you go.
Right?
Right
or,
city there.
Or in Civil War, great. You stopped the blast, but it still killed a bunch of aid workers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the critique of in the comic books, it also ties right into what Game of Thrones is doing. Game of Thrones is taking the superhero and holding the superhero accountable.
But spoiler, they showed Danny's boobs this episode.
It
did,
and that's the only reason you liked it.
Danny's boobs.
I thought this episode was all right, but I think this episode was really a bit fan service-y.
Mm-hmm.
This was one, they showed Danny's boobs again, which kind of confirms that she's not the actress that signed the no nudity clause. But also because it was after all the critiques about women last season, this episode was very
really
like women. Yeah. Our women are empowered.
So are we going to clean it all up again?
Yeah. It was a bit on the nose. You know what I mean?
Like That's true.
I love that Danny scene. It was great when she walks out. But it's like a very fuck the patriarchy moment.
Uh-huh.
But it's so on the nose.
It's true.
That you kind of go.
It's like it's the reason why Sansa's parts and her parts were in this episode, you know, going rather than using any
Cersei,
other.
Cersei, Sansa,
parts.
And Danny are moving the story along in this episode.
Wait. Don't forget Brienne. She fucking and Brienne, checked right? them.
This is all about these empowered women.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, that's great. That doesn't take away from the fact that you're still using women as objects.
Yeah.
Just because you throw a couple elite women in there doesn't mean that we forget the fact that the average woman is just a rape and sex object for
well, that's that's probably them. They were probably sitting there going, "All right, let's put it like this."
It was really
to cynical. Get those Tumblr feminazis off of our
it
backs,
really
right?
Was yeah. Like, but you know what? It worked for Biz. Biz was very impressed with this
episode. I was impressed by this
episode. But they're going, "You know what? We have to be afraid because someone's going to start yelling PC this and that. So we better put tits at the end just to make sure that we keep them the male audience."
There's a serious problem with Danny, though, right? So Daenerys' parts have a very strong white savior moment.
That's true.
So this is an ongoing conversation going on my friend Rez's page, Facebook page, with him and his friend.
Yeah. Because the slaves can't save themselves.
As
they
if
have to have,
is Daenerys a white savior?
Now, yeah.
The argument against it is no, because there's no such thing as whiteness.
Mm, right. Okay.
In Westeros.
Yeah.
But clearly Westeros is based off of Europe. Essos is based off of Asia.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So yeah, there is. Yeah, there is whiteness. Yeah. It's not just that she's a white savior. You know, you saw it very clearly in this episode. Mm-hmm. She saves the Dothraki. Khals are what? They're brutal.
Yeah.
They're talking about fucking her and raping her and
their bestiality.
Yeah, bestiality. Yeah. And what does she do? She kills them all.
Yeah.
Right? So there's this moment, and then what's the lead up to it? They talk about the little 12, the Khaleesi, who was 12 when she was, you know, 16, like broke her ribs, that type of shit.
Yeah.
So there's this very moment of like Danny as the white foreigner saves everyone.
Yeah.
And you really see it in previous episodes, previous seasons where she's Misa.
Mm-hmm.
She's literally called mother.
Yeah.
Misa. So you have a bunch of these little brown bodies shouting out to her. She even crowd surfs at one point.
Mm.
The brown people lift her up and she's like this Christ figure on brown, like being surfing on brown bodies.
Yeah.
It's really ham-fistedly white savior complex, but I think this is what's really interesting. I think George R. Martin subverts this to a great degree. I think he pushes back, and the reason he pushes back on this is because in the original kind of draft of Game of Thrones or Song of Ice and Fire and whatnot, Dany was supposed to already be at Westeros, right? She was supposed to have her dragons. She takes her Dothraki, lands in Westeros, and she's already fighting the ice zombies. Already. But he diverts that. And what does he do? He ends up taking her to Marine. Marine, I think, undermines the whole white savior complex. Because what happens in Marine?
Everything goes crazy.
Shit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's this moment where that teacher comes up to her and goes, "I was a teacher. I had the respect of my master's children. What am I now? I may be free, but my life has no meaning. Please allow me to sell myself back into slavery." So I think Marine, for a lot of people, Marine is really boring. Mm-hmm. But I actually really find it interesting because I think Marine counteracts this kind of and undermines this like, oh, Danny is the white savior of the brown people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think, and I don't think that the showrunners get it that well, but I think George R. Martin very deliberately is going, she's not a white savior.
Yeah.
She's a naive child who thinks.
She thinks that changing this one thing will somehow
make
everything.
She thinks by ending slavery, because she's so self-righteous and so good and so arrogant, breaker of chains, mother of dragons.
Yeah, yeah.
That all will do.
Queen of the first men.
She knows better than those brown people.
Well, hear about, and this is, it actually goes to show how complicated issues really are in life. I was reading an article when I was going to school about, you know, aid workers going to Africa and helping tribes. Right, yeah, you know, like people, like children who are malnourished.
Yeah.
They were having an issue with health things. Like, you can't just go in there and then give them all this food and expect them to become healthy again.
Yeah.
Right? You have to ease them in. They have to give them certain things, certain medicines to counteract things and all this other stuff. But people who are naive think that somehow I go in there, I throw them a bunch of Big Macs or something, and then they'll be fine again. Yeah. It doesn't work that way. This
is an easy solution.
Yeah, yeah.
The same thing with kind of this, with the refugee crisis,
yeah.
Right? As long as we feed them, we give them clothes, it'll all be all right.
Yeah,
it's not how it works. Shelter. It's the white savior complex, right? Well, what was the thing what was the big thing about Afghanistan in addition to Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, was what we need to save Afghan women.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? How many times did they show that video of the Afghan woman being executed in public?
On the soccer stadium?
Yeah, on the soccer stadium. So you even know exactly what I'm talking about because of how often they showed it. She kneels down in her burqa and they shoot her in the head.
Yeah, like an AK from a truck.
They show over and over and over again that scene because the idea was that you need to go in there, you need to save them. All they need is white rationalism.
Yeah.
Show them white enlightenment.
Liberate them from the burqa.
And people will be enlightened, right? There isn't this idea of that brown people have their own agency, their own political consciousness, and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think this is what Marine does really well. As much as it may be boring to some people, I think Marine is George R. Martin's critique of that.
Yeah. I actually enjoy Marine.
Yeah, remember, George R. Martin, everyone keeps forgetting, he is a conscientious objector. He's critiquing intervention.
Yeah.
He's critiquing military intervention. He's going, yeah, that's great. Places suck. But just because you militarily intervene doesn't mean things get better.
Uh-huh.
Invading in Afghanistan and intervening in order to save the Afghan woman doesn't mean Afghanistan is suddenly going to get better. Going to Marine and saying all the slaves are free doesn't mean Marine suddenly becomes better.
Yeah.
So it's a critique of violence, but it's also a critique of military intervention.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what you see in Marine very clearly, right? Mm-hmm. It's why Yung Kai rises up against her. It's why Slaver's Bay is so difficult.
Wise master of Yung Kai.
Well, Master Poe and whatnot.
You think about, I know you don't consider it history, but in order for black bodies to be even considered one single human voting, like not 3/5, or not to be slaves anymore, not to be property, America went through the bloodiest war it's ever seen.
Yeah.
As a result, it had to go through that
bloody civil war didn't produce liberation.
Exactly.
No.
It produced even worse forms of oppression that were just more sophisticated than chains. It created Jim Crow.
Yeah, yeah.
Putting someone in chains and on a plantation is actually a very unsophisticated method of control.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's kind of crude.
Yeah.
Jim Crow is like an evolution of that. It's like taking it to the next level.
That's true. And it convinces you that it's actually doing good.
You create a hierarchy on almost like a soul level.
Yeah.
Not just on the physical level of, oh, you're in the plantation, I'm inside the house. It's like you're in the back of the bus. This is a separate drinking fountain. You can't vote. Like, it's a whole nother level of sophisticated domination, segregation, and the degradation of human bodies, right? And that happens after the emancipation.
Yeah.
So you see that it's not an easy process. History is not a linear progression. And it sure as hell isn't an easy, like, oh, you just come in, intervene, and that's it works. So the benevolent despot model that Danny goes from, it's a very clear imperialist model, right? It's what I call the benevolent giant. This is Sam Harris's argument about the United States all the time. Oh yeah, it may fuck up, but that's because it's a benevolent giant, right? It may step on a crowd of people, but it's trying to do good, right? But the Marine story arc answers that perfectly. It goes, you may be trying to do good, you may be a quote-unquote benevolent giant, but more often than not, You end up fucking things up more when you try to intervene with some form of violence.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is, I'm making a case for Marine. I'm saying there's more to Marine and Dorn than the show is letting on. That these two kind of story arcs really, I mean, he doesn't add them on because he's delaying.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't just write it because he wants to do more world building. He's really exploring his themes there. Right? Mm-hmm. He's moving you away from the glorious battles. He's moving you away from this kind of the epicness of Westeros. And he's going, look, there's more to this.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not that we beat them back and now everything's happy.
Because what's going on in Essos too? There's no knights.
Yeah.
He's moved you away from the knights and the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're now in Slaver's Bay. It's more complicated than that. The world isn't just Cersei dressing up in pretty dresses and knights riding on their noble steeds.
Yeah.
It's more complicated. There's slavery, there's agency, there's issues of gender. There's so much more going on with Dorne and Meereen.
Yeah. Well, you look at, I mean, you can look at it in real life. Look at the complications between abuse and like a marriage. Let's say in a marriage.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say the man, it's easy for us to sit there and yell or tell someone to lock up a man who beats his wife. Mm-hmm. Right? And the judge can say, you need to go to anger management. The only problem is, though, yes, he may not hit his wife anymore, but he learns how to abuse her mentally, emotionally.
Without leaving a bruise.
Exactly. Yeah. So
metaphorically, like, and quite literally.
Yeah, but then if you look at that, no one, like, you can't.
Wasn't that a trending, like, thing on Twitter? Like a trending topic? Like, there was women were sharing stories of being like emotionally abused.
That was like why I left, I think, was one of the hashtags.
Although DiGiorno fucked that up. Patriarchy moment thing that happened just yesterday. So KTLA, this weather girl, weather woman, I forgot her name, something Chen, was giving the weather, and she was wearing a black dress, like a with straps.
Yeah.
And then out of the, like, as she's giving it, a hand comes out and hands her a sweater, and she's like, what is this all about? It's like, we got emails. And she was like, literally live. You can go look it up. She puts on the sweater and is like, what? And so she ties it in a little knot and makes it kind of cute. But it's like, it's a moment that's so fucking fascinating. That in live, people were complaining on their Facebook page and via email that she wasn't wearing an appropriate. First of all, it's not that it matters. It doesn't. Yeah. But it wasn't even like a short dress or anything inappropriate. Not that it matters, but it just goes to show you the kind of sophisticated levels.
You know what pisses
that gender off? Kind of still is an issue.
Yeah. Check this out. So it's like very, it's related to what we're talking about. I saw this tweet, and this girl had like a whole series of like tweets. I don't know if you guys saw it, but someone like a Republican or someone posted a picture. Like a cartoon figure of Michelle Obama, and she was like this big, like buff, like masculine, like girl, like lady. Mm-hmm. And they had a picture of fucking Trump's wife, right? Mm-hmm. What's her name? Ivanka?
Ivanka.
That's the old one. What's the new one's name?
It's Ivanka Trump.
It's Ivanka?
It? Yeah.
Okay, whatever. I'm just going to go with that because I'm pretty sure it's the old one, but we'll go with it.
Okay.
So
Melania Trump?
Or Melania? Melania. Yeah, Melania Trump.
Ivanka's
the
daughter?
No, Ivanka's the first wife.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think. Whatever.
I don't trust Trump, man. He doesn't even fuck American.
Yeah.
You know, he ships that overseas.
So they had like a picture of her in like a bikini, like a cartoon bikini, like looking all sexy. And they're like, is going to make America beautiful again, right? Like, this first lady will make America beautiful again.
First of all, Michelle Obama is one of the classiest first women we've ever had. Yeah.
Michelle Obama is the most highly educated.
First
woman we've ever had.
Yeah, law professor.
At an Ivy League school.
Ivy League school, top of her class. Yeah.
She is the highest educated first lady
we've ever had,
right? But people, like, you know, she rapped about turnips, and all of a sudden that became a big
deal.
Also
one of the most active first ladies we've ever had.
Yeah, she's... She's done more as a first lady than I can remember any other first lady.
She has a huge influence on policy, more than any other first lady.
Yeah, more so than Hillary Clinton.
More so than Hillary Clinton.
But what they do is, with black women, they...
Oh, yeah,
they,
absolutely.
They make them seem like like masculine. And it's like, look at it. Like, especially darker-skinned black women. Lupita Nyong'o, right?
Yeah.
Is, like, anytime they portray her, she's always portrayed mad. Serena Williams.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the idea is, and this is an old trope, right? So there's this... The idea of black femininity is considered very threatening.
Yeah.
It is simultaneously bestial, and it's something that is to be desired and feared at the same time. So this is why black women's sexuality was considered so menacing, right? That they were such weird, like, bizarrely sexual creatures, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were temptresses, and they were like you had animal sex with them, but they were also masculine. So we have two examples of it. One, in world fairs in England, what they would do is they would bring up black women as like in basically a zoo. World fairs were human zoos.
Uh-huh.
And they would portray them nude, and you could go up and like check their buttocks and be like, look, her buttocks is like this much bigger than the white woman, than the European woman. European women are frail and they faint. There is also the idea of their capacity to reproduce. So we have, there's this great book, if anyone's interested, by Jennifer Morgan called Laboring Women, in which slavery is justified by a black sexuality, African sexuality. So black women were thought to be so inhuman that they could pop out a baby and then that very day go back to work.
Oh, shit.
And so you have these pictures, travel diaries, even before slavery happens, of Europeans traveling to Africa. And they show women who have just given birth out working the field naked. And the baby is clung to the back, insect-like. And the whole motif is that they breastfeed their women, their children, over their shoulders. The idea being that they throw their breasts over their shoulder to feed their babies. And this was this became part of the cultural logic of slavery. Mm-hmm. You want to enslave black women because they can both produce physically work, but also produce new labor. Uh-huh. They could produce new slaves without any of this, like, time away. The idea being that animals are like that.
Oh, yeah.
That a horse gives birth, and then you can ride that horse that very day. Uh-huh. So women, the female black sexuality has always been menacing, a means of which was making black women other, as well as simultaneously kind of the zone of eroticism, uh-huh. right? There was this desire for them, which is why, for example, if you take, what's her name? Guitar chick. Taylor Swift. Uh-huh. If you take Taylor Swift's sexuality, right? Yeah. It's considered acceptable, uh-huh. tame, beautiful, yeah. right? But you put it up against Nicki Minaj's, it's considered threatening,
pornographic,
menacing, pornographic. The Anaconda video is too much for us.
Mm-hmm. But Bad Blood isn't.
Right? So, like, the sexuality there plays a massive role. So this is a race and gender intersection.
But it's also a dark skin, light skin thing, because Nicki Minaj is darker skin, but like Beyonce.
Oh, that's colorism, right? Yeah, so, like, the idea being that even within the black body, there is gradation, right? Yeah. Black is not homogenous. There's gradation. There's colorism. You find that in all communities, too. It's not unique to the black people. Afghans, too, right? Yeah. There's colorism there. The lighter the skin, the closer you are in the spectrum. Remember, it's a spectrum. Mm-hmm. The closer you are to the civilized European. Uh-huh. The darker your skin, the farther away you are and closer you are to the animal kingdom. Uh-huh. Right, so that's colorism. That's how race plays out. But race and gender are like this. Yeah. They go hand in hand.
Well, imagine how depraved you'd have to be able to justify treating another human being like a beast of burden in that sense. Uh-huh. Not even from like the labor standpoint, just from the standpoint of using the a vessel for life as for another human being. Like,
as much as like we look back and we go, it's very depraved, remember that they didn't view it that way.
Yeah I definitely understand that.
It was
very
logical. It made perfect sense. They're like, black people are like animals.
Yeah,
why? Because they're able to pop out babies and go right back to work.
Whether
it was logical for them, that was rational.
Yeah,
that was, it made sense.
Whether I like it or not, my field, the anthropology, came out of a bunch of old English white men trying to justify scientifically why they were better than other colors.
Of the kind of academic fields emerge out of colonial and imperial pursuits. Science, the kind of hidden side of science, we often look at science and medicine as equalizers, mm-hmm. right? Because on one hand, it talks about the universality of science and medicine. Medicine heals all.
Yeah.
Science is accessible to all. But in reality, both of them are colonial endeavors. Things like science and medicine, anthropology, were often used to create racial difference, right? Mm-hmm. And also gendered differences, right? Male and female. The science was used to justify, to divide, and to rationalize these sort of differences. Today's ideas about gender, male is this, female is that, come out of this type of colonial endeavor.
Isn't just genders just fucking social norms and shit?
Yeah, but just because gender is socially constructed doesn't make it any less real.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the problems people have is when you hear the term gender socially constructed, you assume it means it's not real. But just because something is socially constructed doesn't make it less real. Race is socially constructed. Yeah. Hasn't gone away. Yeah.
Currency technically socially constructed as well, like money.
No, I'm not saying that. No. I'm just saying it's stupid to like try to divide shit based on that.
Like, yeah, the people are. This isn't like a divide and conquer type shit.
Is it?
No, it isn't. Race and gender exist. These kind of differences are ways of kind of rationalizing, understanding, or explaining differences that are observed. Right?
Like what?
The problem is that then they're added, they become part of a hierarchy. They then become part of a, look, we are different. People are different. We're not all the same.
No, I know.
This is part of this weird like Tumblr movement is like, gender is socially constructed. The humanist
thing?
Yeah, gender is socially constructed. We're all the same. No, we're not. There are differences that exist. The point is to acknowledge those differences, recognize them, but don't allow those differences to create separation or hierarchy.
Uh-huh.
Right? One is not better than the other. White is not better than black. Black is not better than white.
Male is not better than female.
Yeah. This is part of the kind of issue with the current crisis in the United States, right? Over the transgender bathroom.
It pisses me off that it's a fucking crisis.
Well, yeah, it's become a crisis. So for people who don't know, North Carolina has this bathroom bill, House Bill 2 or HB 2, which focuses on what gender you were born into. Yeah. Male or female.
Their sex.
And restricting bathrooms based off of that. Right?
Based on sex, not gender.
The thing is sex and gender intersect with one another.
Okay.
So that a transgender person doesn't have the right to use the bathroom of the gender they identify with.
Yeah.
They have to use the bathroom of the gender they've been identified as.
So, other people. So basically, if they were born male, but they are a female,
they have to use the male.
They have to use the male's
bathroom. The whole purpose of this was to quote unquote protect people from predators and protect perverts. Potential victims. And then, of course, this conflates transgenderism with sexual perversion, ignoring the fact that, for example, the majority of rapists, child molesters, and whatnot are straight, white males.
And also, more likely than not, a member of that person's family.
Usually a member of that person's family.
Yeah.
Or the clergy.
Yeah.
Whoa!
I said it.
Yeah.
So this is, the problem is that now that's become a big issue in the sense that the U.S., federal government is taking a stand.
Uh-huh.
So there's going to be a civil rights suit filed against North Carolina.
Okay.
Obama is issuing an executive order in which he's saying all public schools should respect transgender rights. Right?
He actually went on record
and
said that.
He is making an executive order. Now, this is causing an issue. So it's gone beyond North Carolina. By issuing an executive order, people are like, oh, there he goes again. He's a tyrant. He's a dictator. He's whatnot. What a lot of people don't recognize is that most public institutions have been doing this for years. So the UCs have had unisex bathrooms for probably 5 years now.
Well, they have fucking co-ed bathrooms at most college dorms.
Yeah. It's the bathrooms have always been unisex. Not always, but at least 5 years they've been kind of inclusive, and we've never had an issue.
Yeah.
We haven't had an issue. The other part is that Target, as a private company or corporation, has adopted this.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, has received a massive backlash from the Christian right. Christian conservatives they go into Target now, and they protest by reading the Bible,
they scream down the hall.
Crying and denouncing Target.
Can I say something?
As evil, yeah.
While we're talking about this and people doing dumb shit at Targets, I want to say a big fuck you to a YouTuber named Joey Salads.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys don't know who Joey Salads is, he's a YouTuber who does pranks. Mm-hmm. Most of them get deemed as fake. Like, people expose him. Like, the actors that were in the videos will expose how they're fake.
So standard YouTube bullshit.
Yeah. So this guy did a prank. Mm-hmm. Prank, right? Air quotes on that, since you guys can't see it and you two can. Mm-hmm. But the guy dressed as a woman, right? And he started following women into the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, oh, I'm transgender. Mm-hmm. First of all, it was a fake prank that he was following like actresses and models into the bathroom. But that's stupid off the bat. Second off, it's fucking degrading and just disrespectful as hell to transgender and transphobic by you doing some stupid shit like this. What point are you trying to make? That what, guys could dress up in wigs and just go in the bathrooms now? Like, that doesn't happen. It's only dumbasses like you who do shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's funny. Like, somehow this was not an issue at all until someone brings up this law, and now all of a sudden it becomes something that everyone's been
using. Transgender people have been using bathrooms for this entire time.
Yeah, exactly.
I joke that the reason white strict guys are afraid of letting people into the bathrooms is that
they don't want to see the little peepees.
No, they don't want. They don't want to give away the fact that there's all sorts of weird hijinks going on in dudes' bathrooms.
That's true. Same
shit. Women's bathrooms. I always find it funny too, like this argument that oh, we're protecting our little girls. I'm like, you do realize transgender people aren't predators. They're not. Not pedophiles.
No, I don't know why they assume that.
Yeah. Like, but this is kind of the shifting discourse. It used to be that gays were pedophiles. Remember, like, the connection between homosexuality and pedophilia was quite evident.
Uh-huh.
They often were put in the same category.
Yeah.
What's next? If you're going to let the gays marry, they're going to marry kids, right?
Yeah.
But as the discourse has shifted so that we're now more, quote-unquote, tolerant towards gay people, the next group is the one that – it's literally the rehashed argument. It's not like a new argument.
Yeah.
It's just repurposed now against transgender people.
Dude, I had a guy, because I posted a whole status about this like a few weeks ago, right? About like how people were using their kids as an excuse to be fucking hateful human beings, right? Like it said, parents, stop using your children to be fucking assholes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had a guy comment like, dude, people just don't like transgenders. Like, you know, like, I wouldn't feel safe if my sister went into a bathroom and some dude with, like, a mustache walked in and was like, I identify as a woman, so I could use the bathroom now.
Yeah, I don't think people know what transgender is.
No, they don't. I don't. Here's the thing. Listen, first of all,
it's not a dude with a mustache saying he's a woman.
Yeah, that's stupid. Look, that's fucking stupid.
I've gone into a women's bathroom because the men's bathroom was closed. It was a private one. I locked the door. I did my pee-pee. I walked out, and it was okay.
You know, I used to use only the girls' bathroom in a... At Verizon back when I worked?
I still do.
They're always so much nicer than
there is a lot. The same shit, bro.
Right. But it wasn't like the women's bathroom. It wasn't like a collective bathroom. It was just like,
yeah, it's like a single bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd lock the door. The point is this, that what people don't understand is that gender is performative,
mm-hmm.
right? Gender is something that you perform and something that you feel internally.
Yeah.
So it is actually quite fluid. Transgenderism isn't also a new thing. It's not like a liberal invention.
No, it's been around forever.
It's always existed.
Yeah.
It's always existed.
Like, listen.
The problem with this is that part of it is this kind of what I would call liberal tolerance, right? As we move towards tolerance, mm-hmm. we haven't actually learned to accept. What we're doing is we're simply expanding the definition of tolerance. But when we do that, someone has to remain on the outside for us to be intolerant towards.
Mm-hmm.
So we're tolerant towards the gays
yeah.
because of same-sex marriage passing, right? But yeah. that now means transgender people are on the outside. So tolerance isn't the solution. Tolerance doesn't do anything.
So what is the solution?
The solution is actually accepting people.
Acceptance.
Real, honest, sympathetic, empathetic acceptance. Now, the reality is that Target's been faced with a huge backlash. The American Family Association has got a boycott of almost 800,000 signatures against Target that they will
kiss my ass.
That fuck. People will not shop at Target.
Good for you.
Yeah, these are
go to Walmart, you motherfuckers.
These are bizarre times. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know where this is going to go. I think that the executive order will have an impact on public schools, but there's going to be a huge backlash. Texas public schools superintendents have already said, we don't recognize Obama. We won't enact these laws.
We won't recognize it. What is this, Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
So we don't recognize no king but the king in the South.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
So, like, I don't know how it's all going to turn out, but this is the next battleground for the culture wars, right?
Damn.
It's transgenderism. I think we've now moved to the point where same-sex relationships are so wildly accepted, right, by such big margins
as now, they should be.
Such big margins that, yeah, as it should be, that it's that's done, right? That conflict is not going to, like, some people will still, like, the Cruises of the world will still fight against it, but in general, it's a lost battle for them.
Yeah.
The new battle is transgenderism.
Yeah.
And transgenderism is a much smaller, less potent community.
Yeah.
It's a very important community. In fact, transgender individuals were the primary, transgender women of color in particular, mm-hmm. were the primary motivators and forces behind the gay civil rights movement, Stonewall mm-hmm. and all that. But I think it's an extremely vulnerable group.
Yeah.
There are higher rates of suicide. Violence against transgender individuals and higher rates of self-harm and suicide again. So this is going to be I don't know how it's all going to pan out. I think North Carolina is going to get hit hard with its own version of a boycott. Uh-huh. Artists are boycotting them. I think various other chains will boycott them.
Oh yeah, Hollywood too.
But I think the tension between the federal government and public schools is going to be a big problem.
What's the issue? Like, I don't understand it. Like,
it's an issue of ignorance. It's an issue of conflating a group of people with predators.
But
of seeing them as like, no one's ever seen To Catch a Predator.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right. You've never seen any transgender people on that.
No,
that's true.
It's always rabbis, priests, doctors, teachers.
That's true, yeah, yeah.
Generally straight white males.
Yeah, dudes. Yeah. Always dudes. But look, here's the thing. We're not worried about our little boys, though, are we?
No.
Because men are usually the ones that are harming little kids, and boys get harmed too. We're not worried that men are going to molest little boys in the men's bathroom. But this is how
gender is deployed, right? Gender is used as a symbol. In the same way that liberation of women is a sign of progress, so too is protection of women a sign of kind of righteousness, right? Of a good state. You're able to protect your women.
Yeah. You know what it is?
It's fucking white knight bullshit.
It's mansplaining. It's not mansplaining. It's the reduction of gender, of women and of gender to these kind of essentialized categories. What is a woman? What is a man? Oh. Is essentialized into really simplistic concepts. The problem is that it's not even a division between gender and sex. People forget that transsexuals exist, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not just people who transition. People are born with indistinguishable sexual genitals,
mm-hmm.
right? What are people called? Intersex individuals.
Yeah.
So even at the biological level, there is a level of constructing sex.
Mm-hmm.
What is a man? What is a woman? An example of this is in intersex individuals in the United States versus intersex individuals in Saudi Arabia. People who are born in Saudi Arabia who are intersex are more likely to be categorized as male.
For real?
Versus here in the United States. So you see how the culture, the kind of patriarchy of Saudi Arabia plays a role in the way which Saudi doctors will label intersex individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no standard. Well, if a clitoris is this long, it's a penis. If it's this short, it's a clitoris. There isn't a standard. It's culturally defined.
Mm-hmm.
So even at the biological level, there is a social and cultural construction of sex. Most people don't get that. Get understanding that gender is constructed and performative and fluid and dynamic, that there isn't these essential categories, but this kind of spectrum in which people move back and forth and sometimes identify one way, identify another way, or they shift.
Mm-hmm.
People don't get that.
No, I don't get it. Like, it's such a stupid argument. Because, like, if I walk into a women's bathroom now with this fucking beard, women, I'm going to get kicked out. Like, hey, what the hell are you doing here? Get out. Okay, get out, right? Like, it's not like a guy like me is able to walk in and be like, I'm a woman, I can do what I want. But the
sharing a bathroom isn't about, it's about inclusivity, right? It's not about protection. It's not about control. This is about inclusivity. And the problem of trying to regulate this, right, into male and female, is what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to ask people to drop their pants?
Yeah, you check, yeah. Right? Check their penis.
What are you doing to determine this? It's about inclusivity. It's also accepting the fact that the people who are transgender aren't predators.
No.
Right? The creation of them as a predator is a deliberate polemic. It's a deliberate attempt at making a group of people who are vulnerable that you don't understand into an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Right, into an enemy of your children.
Yeah, that's what it is. You get the fucking children involved in all these fucking
always get the
crazy Christian mothers.
Remember the anti.
Won't someone think of the children?
The anti-gay rhetoric was always about the children.
Right? Yeah.
How do I explain to my kids that those two guys are married? And I think it was Louis C.K. is like, "Is that my fucking problem? What you tell your dumbass kids?" Right? I think Louis C.K. said that once quite brilliantly, right? It's not my problem when you tell your dumbass kids, tell them that they love each other. Guess what? Kids get it.
Yeah.
They do. Like,
you don't need to make it complicated.
I'm not going to persecute a whole group of people because you're uncomfortable having a talk with your stupid ass kid. Like, for 5 minutes.
The React brothers put out a video a few years ago, like, kids react to, like, gay marriage, right? Yeah. And, like, even the kid who was like, my parents told me this was wrong, was like, well, if they love each other, then they love each other, right? Mm. But, I mean, my parents said it's wrong, but if they love each other, you know?
Yeah, but kids in general, it's not a complicated issue until they're socialized to see that as hate, right? Kids don't naturally hate gay people, transgender people. They may not understand it right away. Uh-huh. But hate is socialized.
Yeah.
Othering people is socialized. This is a social process, but people don't get it. There's that woman on YouTube that's ranting and raving.
Nicole Arbour?
It's not Nicole Arbour. It's another woman that's ranting and raving about how the gays and the transgender, my Bible tells me, blah, 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 blah. And I'm tempted to point
fuck
out
your Bible.
The Bible also says that women shouldn't speak in public. But
Wait, is it the one, I just saw one the other day where she's yelling at through a Target, but she's talking about how she has 12 kids?
No. Okay, this is one that she's like, she's made a YouTube video. She's like walking around in her house, and then somehow Sharia law gets thrown in there.
Creeping your Sharia.
So seriously, she like throws in something about Sharia. It's like a really incoherent, crazy rant. She's like, weak Christians are being persecuted. The problem is that no one is saying that Christians should be persecuted. Christians should be a protected religious group just like any other religious group.
Mm-hmm.
Should have the right to practice the religion. But you don't get to use religion as to justify your prejudice.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
And technically, I mean, more Christians have touched little boys than transgenders have.
Wow. That's a topic I don't want to touch with a 10-foot ball.
Yeah. V's just going there, bro. We try to ignore it the first two
times. I know, seriously. He didn't get the hint. He didn't get it.
Yeah, no, I'm over that.
You have zero social cues.
You know what it is? You know what it is? So now, instead of the hate shifting to the brown men, it's going to shift to the Asian men.
Yep, you're going to get hated.
Oh, that's all right. Japanese internment.
Yeah. Japanese internment. I'm really going to end it at that note. It's been a really analytical podcast. We talked about gender, narratives, race, white savior complex. We tied in Game of Thrones with Captain America's Civil War, with DC's Batman versus Superman. And then we looked at gender and science. It's been kind of one of the deeper, more analytic.
Ah, yes.
Diz, why don't you take us out?
Yes, so you could find us on Facebook.com. Or Facebook. Facebook.com/currently. Go on there. Follow us. Like our page. Write some stuff on our wall. You know, send us some messages. All that cool shit. Tell us what you want us to talk about. We're on the tweets, @currentlynerdy. On the Twitter. Hashtag of the week this week is #FuckJoeySalads. With a Z.
Okay.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Piece of shit. Hashtag AskCurrentlyNerdy is always going around, so send us some AskCurrentlyNerdy questions. We haven't gotten one of those in a while. Send it, goddammit. We're on Instagram, CurrentlyNerdy on Instagram. Follow us, like our pictures, write some comments, make V think that he's cool for posting those pictures. Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Go on there, follow us, reblog, write some notes, do all that good stuff that the Tumblrites do. YouTube, we just posted a new video about the Star Wars Episode 8 script leak, so check that shit out. Subscribe, give us the thumbs and the bums, like it. Just search Currently Nerdy on YouTube and you'll find us there. And we're on iTunes, clearly, because you're probably listening to this on iTunes. So if you are, you better get on your damn podcast app or on your phone, or not your phone, your computer. Go to the podcast section, search Currently Nerdy, go on there, give us a 5-star rating, and give us a sick review. Thank you very much in advance. And if your friends don't like iTunes, they can listen to us on currentlynerdy.com. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. Mr. V, tell them how they can get a hold of you.
What kind of moron will go to North Carolina anyway?
Mm.
It's ridiculous.
Aren't you going to North
Carolina? You can find me in Raleigh, North Carolina from May 27th through the 29th at Animazement at the T-Turtle booth. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can also find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali.
You can catch me on my website at olialomi.com or on Twitter at OLAAOLOMI.
You forgot how to spell your name.
Do it again. Diz, how about you?
You can find Ali at AAOLOMI on Twitter.
At a moment.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all the social medias. Dizbulla, D-I-Z-B-U-L-L-A-H.
For everyone here currently nerdy, thank you for tuning in, and remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, unless your name is Joey Salads or you're a fucking transphobic piece of shit. In that case, then go fuck yourself.